So today we'll be doing chapter 14 in this text called Kindle Life. Last week we had done chapter 12, but chapter 13 was included in my talk, where we talked about the fundamentals of living, self-control, non-violence, and truthfulness. So today we'll talk about harmony and poise, because that is what we are all looking for in our life. How to make my life harmonious and how to remain poised, to remain balanced, to remain peaceful in the presence of all that is going on around us. So we'll talk a little bit about how to achieve that. So they say problems can come from outside, or problems can come from within. And problems from outside can be, as we have talked before, can be from nature. There could be a cyclone or an earthquake or a thunderstorm or hurricane. You know, hurricane season will be starting and people in the East Coast will get. So that is one. The second is problems can come from my surroundings, from my family. That's generally the most common place where all our problems arise, or the majority of our problems. In my family, in my extended family, my neighbors, my co-workers, my boss, the politicians, the leaders of the community. So it can arise from natural forces like weather and all, or it can arise from people or situations. So that is external. And then there are internal problems that arise in my mind, where my mind gets disturbed, or physically I have some ill health, or my mind is affected, disturbed by some sorrow, some problem, or intellectually something I don't understand, something I do not agree with. And so I get disturbed inside, and I say, why is this like that? Why am I having? Why? So this why becomes a big question. Why is there so many problems in my life, and why am I disturbed inside? So the external situations, you have very limited effect over. Yes, to some extent you can make your circumstances comfortable. You can buy a nice house, you can have a nice car, you can be relatively comfortable financially. Yes, that I can do. But I cannot change the weather. I cannot, now it's 104 or whatever, I cannot make it 85. I cannot change the behavior of the leaders and the politicians. I cannot change the behavior of my family members, even my children, even my spouse, even though we try our best to change our spouse. It doesn't happen. Talking about change our spouse, there were this couple who were fighting, constantly fighting, bickering, constantly. Just didn't get along. Finally, they said, you know, either we need to divorce or we need to go for counseling. So they were debating and they said, for the children's sake and for all the reasons, let's go see a counselor. And so they both go and they talk, and the husband says, gives his list of problems, and the wife gives her list of problems. You know, he doesn't love me, he doesn't care for me, he doesn't talk to me, he listens, and the husband says, she does this, she does that, or, you know, so both sides he listens. And then psychologist understands the problem, so he gets up and gives the wife a big hug and kisses her on both the cheeks. And he says, this is what she needs three times a week. This is what she needs three times a week. So husband thinks and says, okay, I can bring her here Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I can bring. So we are looking for solutions outside us. You know, something should around me should change. I should not change. And when the situations, we cannot change the situation. You cannot do anything about it. So what happens is that that external problems then affects me internally. And then internally I get disturbed. Why is she like that? Why is he like that? Why is this not happening? Why is that not happening? So we get disturbed internally. So the teacher tells us in this text, he says in this chapter that you only have control over yourself. Your body, you have again very limited control. Yes, with time it will get older. Body will get old, it will get weak, there will be arthritis, there will be all those things we can't control. But the mind and intellect, we can strengthen. You cannot make it completely immune that there will be no problems, no difficulties, but we can strengthen our within so that even when there are circumstances outside which are not conducive to my mental well-being, but I can remain in harmony and I can remain in poise. So that should be the goal of life. How do I make myself strong so that circumstances do not affect me? To some extent they will, not that you become a stone, but how can I find that inner harmony and inner poise? So what are the problems that affect us internally? So one is the sense of separateness, that I am separate from him, from her, and me against them, we against they, you know, we are Germans and they are non-Germans, we are communists and they are socialists, we are white and they are black, we are Hindus and they are Christians or Muslims. So this I against them, that is one reason that the mind gets disturbed, that I have problems, because why can't everybody be like me? Remember that movie, My Fair Lady, and there was a very famous song where he says, why can't everybody be, he says, I am perfectly reasonable and why can't a woman be like a man? The whole song is very hilarious, where he says, he asks his friend, would you get upset if I forgot the anniversary of the day we met? He said, no, of course not. He says, why can't she be like you? So the point is that we expect people to fall in a particular mold, that this is how I should be, this is how she should be. So that is one, separateness. The second is trying to control circumstances we cannot control, situations, but people we try our best to control. That's what they say in marriage. Woman expects that man will change, and man expects that woman will never change, and they are both disappointed. See, woman thinks that I can change him this way, and man thinks that she will always remain the same, you know. When I married her, how she was slim and beautiful. And they are both disappointed because situations you cannot control. You cannot control people. In fact, it is even hard to control your own mind. How our mind just takes off suddenly. You remember some past problem or some past memory and we get disturbed. Even though this thing happened many years ago, but why did she say that? It's already gone. There's nothing you can do about it. But we just dwell on the past, or we worry about the future. You know, this will happen, that won't happen. What about, what happens if this happens? And we keep on adding, you know, making, what they say, Hawaii killer. You keep on making castles in the air. You know, this is what I will do, that is what I will do. So we try to control situations, control people. And the other thing that creates disturbance in me is trying to become. That I am this, but when I become that, I'll be happy. When I make my first million, I'll be happy. Or when I get married, I'll be happy. For a person who is married, when I get divorced, I'll be happy. Or when my children grow up, I'll be. Or when I get this job, or when I get promoted. It's not that one should not work, but we are always postponing our happiness in the future. One should work for success. But I am fine as I am right now. If things work out, that is good. But if they don't, I am still fine. So trying to become instead of be. I am what I am. I am where I am. Yes, I'll work hard. I will be successful. I'll do my best. But ultimately, my happiness does not depend on becoming something else. Because in that process, we are putting our happiness in the future. That sometime in the future, maybe next year or maybe in 10 years or for Hindus, next life. You know, this life I am miserable, but maybe in my next life. So we are always postponing our happiness into the future, that when I become this, I'll be happy. So these are the three things that create problems: separation, trying to control, and wanting to become something I am not. And in the process, I lose who I am, my uniqueness, or I try to become something which is for somebody else. My husband has this image of that's how I should be, or my wife has, or so I try to change myself to fit somebody else's mold, of somebody else's pattern. So either case, I become unhappy. So these are the three situations that make us unhappy. So how do we rise above that? How do we go? So they say, take a larger view of life. What do we mean by a larger view, a rise above? It's like, now this problem sounds very big. Say there is a lot of problems in Bakersfield, for example. And I get in a plane and I go above. And slowly what happens? The houses that were big appear very, very, very small. And Bakersfield is just few lights if it's nighttime. And then I go higher and then I see the whole state of California. And then I go higher, I see the whole US. If I go in space, even the earth, the whole earth, I just see the continents. So the higher I become, the further away the problems become. So what they are saying is that rise above this I and my. If I'm only working for myself, then my view is very limited, as I had even talked yesterday. But if from myself I say I'm going to do what is good for my family, or my extended family, that's I'm widening, and I'm going to do what is good for my church or my city or my community or my nation, and ultimately for the world, for the entire universe. So as you expand your horizon, your thinking, your mind becomes wider, and your thinking becomes less egoistic, less one. So living in harmony is separating myself from all these situations. And whatever is happening in the situation, I am fine with it. That is called living in harmony, that I am fine. It does not mean I become a doormat. It's not that I let people walk all over me, or I let, if there's a situation I can change, I change it. But if it's not, I am just say I'm fine with it. I'm peaceful. So what that will do is give us instant peace, instant harmony, instant poise. And ultimately, that is what we are all looking for, is peace. And what disturbs us is all these differences, all these problems. So yes, things are not 100%, but at this moment, I am okay. I'll do whatever I can to make my life better, but I'll not do it out of incompleteness, that by doing this, I'll become complete, or by marrying this person, I'll become complete, or by meeting this person, or by getting this, I am complete. If it comes, it is good. If it doesn't come, I am still good. Does not mean I don't work hard, but I work out of completeness, not out of incompleteness. So they say that see oneness, and that is very, very important. We have talked about that we are all actually one. The consciousness in us is the same, God, whether you can call him by different name, Allah, Jesus, Buddha, Guru Nanak, but it is all one, the Atman, the consciousness. Our body is made of the same five elements: air, space, fire, water, earth. We are all the same. The liver, the spleen, the kidney, the heart, the lungs are the same in all. And our mind and intellect, even though my emotions and my ideas and my desires are different from the others, but in fact, we are all connected. We are all part of that universal mind. There is only one universal mind, which appears divided. There is only one consciousness which appears divided. So see oneness, see that there is oneness, even though we have made these artificial divisions based on very minor things, on the facial appearance or the sex or the color or the religion or the nationality, but those are superficialities. In reality, we are all one. And instead of doing more, they say do less and accomplish more, do nothing and accomplish everything. Because in trying to do more, what we are doing is getting ourselves agitated. So what we have to do is reduce our desires, reduce our agitations. Because the more I desire, the more I want, the more I'm strengthening my vasana. So develop a life of simplicity, live a life of peace, avoid situations that will disturb me, and develop contentment. Again, contentment does not mean I don't work hard, but at the end of the day, thank you God for whatever you have given me. I'm so grateful for my health, I'm grateful for whatever I have, I'm grateful for this nice city I'm living in. I all every day thank God for living in Bakersfield. I'm so happy. People, you know, criticize Bakersfield, bag on it. I think it's the most wonderful place. Every time I go to San Francisco and Los Angeles, I am so thankful I don't live there. The traffic and the competition, I feel so happy. So being grateful and being content. And the main process we have to live a process of awareness. If you want harmony, become aware. And aware of what? Aware of what my body is doing, aware of what my mind and intellect is doing, how my emotions, my thoughts, and separate myself from this body, this mind and intellect. I am that awareness, I am that consciousness, which is separate from this body, mind and intellect. So constantly live in awareness. And that's what we practice in our meditation. We detach ourselves from the body, the mind, the intellect, and say, I am that self, I am that consciousness, the Lord within. If that is my true nature. And the more you become aware of the Lord's presence within, the more you will see the Lord everywhere. There is only one God, which is there in all plants, all birds, all animals, all fish, all humans, even in chairs, table, everywhere. And so we develop an attitude of total love because I see oneness. That there is only one entity who is playing all different roles, just as there is one ocean and all the waves and the bubbles and the froth and the whirlpools and the streams and everything, whatever you are seeing is that one ocean playing different roles and having different names. But ultimately, the essence of them is one ocean. There is one mud which is taking different forms, whether it's a pot or a cup or a saucer or a vase. But the essence of them is all mud. So similarly, this one consciousness, the Lord, the Brahman, is playing different roles. And we give him different names. This is a male, this is a female, this is my friend, this is my enemy, this is I like, this I don't like. So seeing the oneness, what it does is it develops spontaneous love for all. And you cannot be harmonious and have poise when you don't like something. So I don't like that person or I don't like that situation. Here they don't say I don't like, they say I hate it. That's the most favorite word, you know, starting from 3-year-olds till 93, you know, that's the favorite. I hate this. The moment I say I hate something or I don't like it, what I'm doing is that I am not okay with this situation. I'm not okay with this person. I'm not okay. I hate this weather. I hate the summer. You can't change the weather. So what is there to hate, to like or dislike? Just accept it. Be. And similarly, so when you remove the word hate from your dictionary and say, yes, this situation can be improved, and I'll try my best, but if not, the willingness to accept situations and be fine with all situations. As we said, not to be a doormat, but work from an attitude of stillness. And what do we mean by stillness? Those of you who meditate regularly, with time, you must have experienced the inner peace, the inner stillness, at moments when your mind is quiet and when your mind is less disturbed and there are not too many thoughts. Because it is thoughts, they say thoughts are things. Thoughts are what disturb us, you know, this. Even when I'm sitting in meditation, thoughts arise, or when I'm driving, suddenly I get an angry thought, or when I'm at work, I suddenly. So slowly reducing the thoughts, which we practice in meditation, being a witness of the thoughts, and getting in touch with the inner stillness. Because all of us, as you meditate regularly, when your mind becomes quiet, then you will experience, or you probably have already experienced, the inner stillness, the inner peace, which is my true nature. All of us have stillness, have peace, have quietude, but not identifying with the Lord or the Self or the consciousness within. I identify with the body. I am the body, I am the mind, I am the intellect. And when the body is sick, or when the mind is upset, or the intellect is disturbed, then I get disturbed. But I am that stillness, I am that consciousness. And whatever happens to the body is not happening to me, because I am peace, I am stillness. So I'm not looking to be peaceful, but I am peace. See, there's a difference. I am not looking to be happy, but I am happiness. I am always happy. I am always peaceful. I am always still. Even in situations where there is a disturbance and things do not appear right, but inside I am fine. I just deal with situations as they arise. It's not that you become a stone. Whatever situations come, you take care of, but inside I remain peaceful. And I remain loving, I remain sympathetic, I remain compassionate. And then people think this will take time. You know, right now I don't think I am at that level. But yes, after I have been meditating for 5 years, yeah, then I will reach. Or after retirement, you know, when I reach 65 and then I have no work, then I'll be peaceful. But peace, happiness, joy only comes in the now. Here and now I am happy, I am peaceful. Even at age 65, when you reach peacefulness, it will be in the now. Even next year, when I become happy, it will be now I am happy. It's not that it will be in the future. So that's what Eckhart Tolle says, live in the now and find all the happiness, all the joy, all the peace, all the comfort in the now. And do not think that it will take time, because if you think it will take time, then it will never happen. So today, now, I am fine. Today, now, here, I am peaceful. And here, I have discovered the Lord's presence within. And the more you feel connected with the Self, the more your life will become peaceful, will become happy, because the Lord is all peace. He's all love, he's all compassion, he's all knowing, he's all joy. So find the peace and happiness and joy within, and do not look for it outside. And if you, that's what even Mahatma Gandhi said, be the change that you want to see in the world. So I change myself and I become more peaceful, then the world around me will be peaceful. If I am calm, people around me will be calm. If somebody is agitated, then he will be agitating everybody else. So I am peaceful and I make everybody around me peaceful. If I am agitated, I make everybody around me agitated. So resolve that from today onward, my goal will be inner peace, inner quietude, inner silence, and stillness. Because when I live in stillness, that's in one place it says, when he's talking about the man of realization in a text called Yoga Vasishtha, he says, once you reach that, you experience a profound, deep stillness. These are very powerful words. Those words hit me. It's profound and deep stillness. That is what the true meaning of realization. A self-realized master is not one who has, you know, a halo around his head, or who can walk on water, or who can do miracles. No. One who has discovered the self within, then he becomes the self of all, or she becomes all oneness. So that is realization. Realization is not that suddenly there will be music and thunder and lightning and I will be. No, I will just know myself and I will know everybody. So that is called harmony and poise, discovering it within. It's a very, very beautiful chapter. There's some points I took from Gurudev's commentary on this, and then others from other commentaries. So I tried to add some additional points. Anybody has any questions or comments about this? Anything you agree or disagree?
Being aware of everything, what you do, that's so important, and that makes so much difference. When you're doing things like a robot is doing, and oh my God, I can do this. Where your mind was, you know, being aware of it, what you're doing, and regardless what work is and what you have to do, and it makes so much difference to the task you're doing and to yourself. You feel great, you feel good about yourself, and no matter what job you're doing, it sounds silly, but I was just cleaning a patio door. Of course, you do so much in the summertime, even when it's closed, you know. It was getting so stiff, and I was just cleaning it, and 1 minute came to me that, God, for how long I'll be doing this? And then the next minute, it came to me, why are you complaining? This is a job you have. And funny, the same job I thought was, why I should do this? It came, I was enjoying, I was laughing with my birds, and because I became aware of it, I'm doing, and this is what it is.
Very good.
It made so much difference. And somebody called me and said, what are you doing? And I was just laughing. I said, oh, geez, you sound so happy. And because this is what I had supposed to be doing, and I'm doing it, I'm aware of it. And that's made so much difference. And I'm saying, God, give me this. And they all sell this big house. You don't need this now. And move into a little apartment or whatever. What should I? I love it. I love my home where I am. And I know it's hard, but enjoy it. That made so much difference to me.
Good.
Yeah, being aware of whatever you do.
Anything else? Yes.
How can we overcome the belief that the future is going to be better? We will become this, we will become that, which is in a way the reason why we live. We get a lot of strength, not from the past because it's gone, not from the present because we live towards the future. I'm believing that it's going to be better. But the future is going to be just like today. How can we develop some, how can we get help in order to strengthen the idea that what matters is the now? The future is going to be another now.
Right.
So whatever, something that when I move, when I marry, or when whatever, maybe the excitement will be in that moment, but then it will become part of life, and then we will extend something else, something to the future. How to even though we understand intellectually, but emotionally, how can we develop strategies in order to realize
right.
this is the now, this it, and be happy.
I think most of your question you already answered. But the point is that we cannot change the past. You already said that. The future is not yet here. When the future arrives, it will arrive as the now. Tomorrow, you say, tomorrow I will be happy. When the tomorrow arrives, it will be today. It will be now. That's number one. Number two, the only thing in my hand is this moment, right now. That is the only thing that is in my hand. What am I doing right now? I cannot act in the future. I cannot say that I will act in the tomorrow. When I act in the now. When I will be acting, I will be acting in the now. So only thing in my hand is the now. So I do my best in this situation. Accept the situation as it is without getting agitated, upset. Do my best. And if I do a good job in the present, because we live in the land of karma, the future automatically will be good. If I am loving, if I am kind, if I am compassionate, if I share, if I help others. So whatever I do now will affect my future. Like what I am now depends on my past. How I was studying. If I was studying and if I worked hard in my childhood, then I got into a good college and then I had a good career. But somebody else who was with me didn't study and then he just became a bum. So my present is determined by my past. So my future will be determined by my present in the law of karma. So at this moment, I do the best and let the future take care of itself. It does not mean you don't plan. It does not mean that, okay, 1 year from now, I'll do this, or 2 years from now. You sit and make a plan. Obviously, we are all planning individuals. But make the plan and then drop it. And then because if you are all the time planning, then you are all the time living in the future and then you are postponing your happiness. So they say plan and then drop it. Don't constantly dwell upon the future. Do what is right and have that goal in mind. We are not saying that you should not have a goal, should not have a purpose. Even realize self-realization is a goal, that I have a goal that I should reach God or know God and know myself. And effort is required in that too. Self-realization does not just happen one day you are sitting and suddenly there is a flash of lightning and Jesus blessed me and I became self-realized. No. It is a gradual process of dissolving the vasanas, my negative tendencies, and slowly, slowly becoming one. So my goal is there, but while I am working, I am present here and do my best and the future will automatically be good. People say the best answer is we will cross that bridge when we get to it. We will cross that bridge. Already I'm planning how I will cross the bridge next day is not going to get you any closer. Only thing what will happen is that if I'm living in the future, A, I will not enjoy the present, and B, my performance will be not good. Because I'll be anxious, oh, if it happens, this will happen. If it doesn't happen, what will happen? So they say regrets of the past, anxieties for the future, lead to agitation in the present. So when your mind is still and you're working with that still mind, then the past does not bother you and you have no anxiety for the future, because who knows whether I'll be even alive, you know, for 1 year or 5 years from now. We have no idea. We could go out and be hit by a drunk driver. We don't know. So you plan for the future, but don't live in the future. I don't know. That answers your question. Yeah. Because you pretty much answered it yourself. I didn't have to add too much.
It's an effort. It's a constant
yes.
effort.
Constant effort. Yes. Constant effort. Yes.
Did you go through the not doormat part. I saw that not doormat. Did you go through the whole list?
Yes, we did. What we said was that when we live in harmony, it does not mean that you become a doormat and let people walk over you, but remain in that inner stillness that I am fine, and then if situations are not okay, I'm still fine. So living in harmony with the totality, but inside being still, and then let the situations happen as they do. But inside I have to be strong, I have to be peaceful, I have to be calm, no matter what is happening outside. That is called harmony and poise. And situations you cannot change, but I am fine with whatever is happening. But that
it's
comes from
people who live with people, whether they're married or they're friends, or you have some person in the house who's like completely out of harmony, and then you have to live with it and tune that all out. You know, I think
right.
Kind of
I think this, when the situation is unacceptable. There are three things. I have talked about that before. Somebody or some situation is unacceptable. We have three choices. One is walk away from that situation or leave that situation. Say I have a terrible job, I leave that job, or a boss or a partner. But suppose I can't leave the job, I need the money and I cannot leave the partner because of the kids. The second is stay in the situation and try to change it. So one is walk away from the situation. Second is try to change. I'll change my partner, or I'll change my boss, or I'll change my job. I mean, not change my job, but within my job I will change. So either change the situation or walk away from the situation. But you say it's not possible. I need the job. I cannot change my boss. Then the third is, which is fully accept the situation. Without, yes, without complaining, you know, say, oh, if I am accepting it, but I am not happy, no. I am fine, I am with that inner stillness. So when you don't react to this person or this situation, then you do not provide more fuel to the fire. I am peaceful, and let that person be agitated, let him be a problem, but I am not, because I am not this body anyway, I am not this mind, I am not a male or a female, I'm neither a man or a woman or a young or older, I am that self. So with that inner stillness, once you that becomes very clear in your meditation, then it comes in your day-to-day life also. And then that is the only way. Either change the situation, walk away from the situation, or third one is accept it 100% without complaint. This is how it is, and I'm fine with it. The moment you say, this is how it is, I'm fine with it, half the struggle is gone.
And then you'll know, it'll be pretty obvious, if you do see a better situation in a job or where you're living, it'll be pretty obvious.
Right.
It should be obvious, not like you're going into a frying pan into the fire kind of thing. You know, you're moving from a better thing, it has to be clear.
Right.
You just like, gee, I think I'll chance this other job, and then that's horrible too. You know, I mean, it would be good to have a be really clear when people make move, because it's a lot to move and
exactly
money, or change jobs and
right.
Or you know, who you're with or change things.
Sure, absolutely. When you work from stillness, then the universe works with you, mm-hmm. and the situations will come up where your path will automatically become clear, will become gentle, will become soft. Because the totality, the consciousness, you can call it God, you can call it universe, totality. But once you become connected to that, then by itself your path will become soft and will become gentle.